Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
The female child is 13 months old.
Well, I think another site would be a better idea.
I just decided to wear my headscarf and show up at work. Here I am at work starting to work.
Hello, it's emergency. Hello, yeah, please go now. Timmy Breed Road.
You had a loaded gun. Was your gun loaded today?
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're a news, talk, and entertainment show. We like to think that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch here. We'll even take you through the looking glass to maybe sniff it out a little bit. And, you know, a couple of laughs along the way. First, Harry Reid, now Howard Dean, says the Ground Zero Mosque should be moved. And that, of course, opposing the view of President Obama. And also, a woman is suing YouTube to find out who called her a whore in a video. Ted Bell of Ted's of Beverly Hills joins us this evening later on texting and tweeting while driving. And we have Vernon Dozier with us from Belmar Academy to talk about the ongoing policies at a lot of different school districts and private schools, teachers and students friending each other on Facebook. No. No good, man. No damn good. So that's that'll be an interesting conversation. There's more and more school districts that are saying, and more and more schools that are saying to this to their teachers, this is not school. This is not even healthy. So let's knock it off. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. And our website is philhenryshow.com. And we are celebrating our 20th year on the air doing a radio show that still no one else can do. The groundbreaking Phil Henry Show. Now, you go to our website, and you can see a live streaming video of the show right now. And you'll see how we do it. And if you go to our website, you'll hear the archives, and you'll view all of our archived animated features, and you'll look at all of the podcasts that we have for your perusal, and there'll be a news feed there, and you can comment on our news feed, and you can email me and get guaranteed email responses from Phil Henry. It's all over there at philhenryshow.com. And we have a one-man anniversary show that we're planning for later in the year. And we will give you details on that. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Starting things off here tonight is this story about Facebook and how it is a policy now with a lot of schools that teachers and students not communicate with each other on Facebook, that teachers and students not socially interact that way. Vernon Dozier is going to join us. He is the member of the board there at Belmar Academy. He's also a varsity football coach. He is a senior class advisor and a teacher of health and science. A Florida school district is the latest. This is Lee County School District. They have told teachers not to be friends with students on social networking sites and to be very careful in using electronic communication to avoid legal and workplace problems. Lee County school officials issued the guidelines on Monday. Mr. Dozier, welcome to our program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on your program, Phil, and I'm very, very grateful that you've invited me back on your program.
Well, it's good to have you on these issues involving education. I think it's very important. And you know something? I can't now. My mind is going to be on this. I forgot to do our affiliate spotlight. So hold on a minute. Our affiliate spotlight, I just want to mention our good friends in Salt Lake City at KKAT at 860 AM and in Palm Springs at KPSI. I cannot get to the hour if I don't mention our friends on the radio network. Anyway, so Mr. Dozier,
I, you know what? That's a very good association to have with a guy that's going to be that loyal.
Well, all right. So let's talk about the Facebook, which you are on, and you are in touch with your students.
Well, Phil, I think it's important for every parent to understand that Facebook is. You need to understand what Facebook is. I think you need to understand how it works. I think you need to understand what its strengths are, what its weaknesses are. I do communicate with my students over Facebook. Now,
do you friend these kids, or do they friend you?
Well, the way Facebook works, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about Facebook because most parents don't know what it is. And it's mostly young people, and because I'm a teacher, I've been exposed to youth culture. You don't really friend people. People just interact, and they are. You'll see people that are your friends, and you'll say, "Oh, I know that person," but you didn't do anything, and they didn't do anything. And people will just be there. That's one way of friending people on Facebook. Now the other thing is to you share, for me, I'm able to share with the students what the assignments are. I'm able to share with the students what the class projects are. The students can share with me, you know, for instance, there's tryouts tonight for West Side Story. The senior class is going to be putting on a production of West Side Story. We can't make, some of the students won't be able to make the Glee Club, which I took over. And all of these things that are happening, of course, we don't have school right now, but we are starting school in a couple of weeks. So
what you're telling me is that you're communicating with students, assignments and all of that, and you can do that, can't you, by some other way other than Facebook?
Well, of course. I can use a telephone, I guess, or have the kids write it down. I mean, there's ways other than Facebook, Phil.
Well, no, I understand. What I'm saying is you're friending people on Facebook, and you're not really talking to the parents about this, right?
Well, here's the problem. I have never, ever hid the fact that I friend the students on Facebook.
And most of them are female, right?
Well, let me explain why most of them are female, because I'm the high school football coach. During the first half of the season, I am around young men. I'm around our seniors. I'm around all of our sophomore, junior, and senior boys who are in either our freshman, or our varsity or JV football program. So I'm around all of the boys don't really use Facebook. They don't consider it to be something that they want to do. I guess they think in a lot of ways it's not masculine, but girls do. So at the second half of the year, the way I communicate with my female students is on Facebook. And I have, yes, probably over 400 female friends on Facebook, and they're all under the age of 18, all underage females. I want to get that right out in the open. I'm not doing anything there other than maintaining my relationships with them. Now, here is...
Now, what would you say to a parent, though, just to interrupt you, what do you say to any parent that says to you, okay, you have over 400 female friends, they're all under the age of 18, are they all your students?
Well, as far as I know, I get friended or I'll ask to be friends with...
You ask to be friends?
I will if I say, now, well, that looks like one of my students, I better, you know, ask her to be a friend. And then later on, if she's not, I'm not going to get rid of her, because that's considered to be a little rude. So I've got 400, most of them are students of mine, and some of them are from the continuation school, which is, it's close by here, and I think a lot of them are...
Well, continuation's a school for people, so I'm just going to say...
Continuation's a school for people that are flunking out.
Well, isn't it also a school for people that are discipline problems? Look, and I don't want to get bogged down in that.
No, I don't think so.
I don't want to get bogged down in that. What we're talking about here is, and we're talking to Vernon Dozier, a number 877-876 Phil. He is a teacher, one of the board members, and a senior class advisor at Belmar Academy, which is a college prep high school. You are on Facebook. Now, you just heard the story that we read, Mr. Dozier, and there are other school districts and other schools around the country. They don't want the parents friending the kids, and yet you fully admit that you have over 400 underage female friends from your school on your Facebook page. So how do you explain to parents or, you know, to administrators what you're doing?
Well, the answer to that is very carefully.
All right, but seriously.
Well, seriously, you have to go very slow. I think you're more open-minded than most people, Phil. But you got to take it really slow with some people. Okay, look, here's what it is. It's called Facebook. It's not a brothel. It's not, you know, it's not kiddie porn. Your daughter and I talk about the homework assignments. And
did you put a picture up though? And this was one of the things.
Oh yeah. Picture.
Yeah, you put a picture up with yourself wearing no shirt.
Yeah, all right. Let me explain that. That's probably what. Yeah, I did put a picture on my profile wearing no shirt. I was on a rafting trip in South America. I got bit by a python snake. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, Phil.
No, it hasn't.
Well, it is a frightening experience, and this snake came out of the dark because they don't like bright lights, and somehow we moved through a clearing, and this snake hit me on my right shoulder. And the shoulder was bit. You could see the fang marks. So I immediately took a photograph of that, and I sent it via my iPhone to my Facebook page. And I wasn't wearing a shirt because obviously you're not going to be wearing a shirt.
All right. Well, that was kind of a controversial thing, wasn't it?
Well, I got a couple of these. I don't think it was controversial. A couple of these mothers, and I think some of the other parents said that this was. They said, "What are you doing, showing your body off?" I said, "I wasn't showing my body off. I was showing the students the python bite."
Well, they thought it was some kind of a beefcake thing.
No. That's if they saw it as being beefcake, that's probably how their daughters saw it, and I'm not. I think it's understandable for a young woman to see a man who's got a good build to say, you know, to get excited about that. But that wasn't why I put it on there. I put it on there so they could see how this python had bit me.
Now you were all right, okay. But I mean, I'm looking at the photograph right now. Tell me. If I'm completely crazy here, okay?
All right.
I can see the jungle clearing, and it looks like it's out, and it looks like it was raining.
That's correct.
You're wearing Speedos, and...
Well, yeah, because it's very, very hot. You can't have that hanging around your legs, and...
All right, so, no, I understand that. You're wearing Speedos, but it looks to me like they've been tugged up in the back.
They were not tugged up in the back, Phil. That's what happens when you're in a boat and you're in a very, very small launch all day long, or you're rafting, and you're going to be moving around that craft a lot. So I'm taking a picture of it there in a mirror. You see the mirror?
Yeah.
That's in the cabin that we had. And if the Speedos are tugged up, it's because perhaps I was getting ready to take a shower. I don't know. But I'm surprised and I'm very shocked that the parents go looking at my... down there. They're looking down there at me instead of what I was trying to show the students, which was the python bite. See, I think you're giving off the impression that it is inappropriate for me or any teacher to have a Facebook profile with these female friends. I'm out here telling you you're way off base.
Well, you've got nothing but female friends, and they're underage, and you've got a picture of yourself in your Speedos with the back tugged up on them. And
again, why are you looking at my... you know, my backside. I find that very curious. I know you're not a homosexual, so I have to...
No, I'm not, sir.
Well, then I have to ask why any man would want to look at my backside instead of where the bite was from the python.
All right, we're talking to Vernon Dozier. It's a good point, but I want to talk further with some parents, too, about this. So, essentially, this man has a Facebook page. He's got a lot of female friends. They're all underage students of his, and this flies in the face of school policy across the country, which is saying students and teachers shouldn't friend each other on Facebook. Mr. Vernon Dozier has over 400 female friends, all of them students, most of them students, he says, some of them from the continuation school in the area on Facebook. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Your call's next with our guest Vernon Dozier at 877-876-PHIL. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I think you have to. You're looking at my rear end, right?
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Vernon Dozier with us, teacher from Belmar Academy. We've had Mr. Dozier on the air before. We talk about educational issues. I didn't know that you were still, though, Mr. Dozier, that you were involved in Facebook. Is there a policy at the school?
Is there a policy at the school? It's always a good question whether the school has a policy or not, Phil. Belmar Academy is a little confused. I think a lot of schools are confused. We had parents complain that young men were apparently wanting to friend me.
But these are students at your school?
They were young male students, yeah.
All right, okay, that's true. And they were not being friended by you. Why?
I'll tell you why, Phil. I don't need the perception. We have, in our country, a terrible, terrible epidemic of these predatory homosexuals that are preying on young boys. And I don't want the perception that is what's going on here. I tell these young men to, go do something else. You know, I don't want to be your friend on Facebook, okay? I've got 400 of our young ladies that I'm trying desperately to keep them on the straight and narrow. because these are girls that can either go off and become wonderful women or become pregnant by way of some liaison with God knows what. So I tell our young men, you better just take that somewhere. You know, take it outside, because I don't need to be aligned with the predatory homosexual that is currently afoot in our country.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Vernon Dozier, who's a teacher at Belmar Academy, on the friending of students on Facebook, where most schools frown on it or don't allow it. But Mr. Dozier has 400 female friends on his Facebook page. Lisa in Nashville, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Hi, Lisa. How you doing?
Yeah. Hi, Mr. Dozier. Just to let you know.
Yes, how are you, ma'am?
I'm fine.
Yes.
You're not.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm a parent of a teenage daughter. And let me just tell you that if you had a relationship with my daughter on Facebook, I'd be calling the authorities. I think that you're sick and you're hiding behind a cover of being a mentor to these girls when really you're a creep. And let me tell you this, you're worried about being perceived as a homosexual pedophile. How about a heterosexual pedophile? Have you ever heard of that? Does that make sense to you at all?
A pedophile technically, ma'am, is a homosexual. Now,
That is technically not true.
Technically, ma'am, my understanding was that a pedophile is someone who's a predatory homosexual that
goes after the boy. Teenage girl.
Well, ma'am,
are you married?
All I'm saying is...
Married?
Yes, I am.
What does your
yes,
wife
I am
think
married.
Of your actions?
Well, my wife is a young woman. There's a big age difference between us. She's 31 years younger than me.
So there is probably out looking for the next one.
I beg your pardon, ma'am? You know, ma'am, you've done nothing but insult me, and I'm wondering
you
where
you
get
insulted,
the gall.
You need to be waking
well,
up.
Well, ma'am, I...
People like
Waken,
you,
you mean I need to be awaken. Your grammar, ma'am, it's not, you need to be awakened. No, it isn't. It's not you need to be awakened. It's you need to be awakened.
All right, well, we don't need to give grammar lessons, do we?
Why don't you mentor me? I'm a 40-plus-year-old woman. Why do you have to mentor young girls? Let me tell you something, sir.
I don't particularly, I wouldn't want to, ma'am, but the way you've come on to me, I wouldn't want to know you. You have been rude.
You, know what,
you have called me names.
What,
you haven't listened to my story at all, ma'am.
You
ma'am,
know what,
I said, I don't want, and as far as the girls go, I don't have relationships with these girls.
You wouldn't even know how to communicate with a grown person. You have to go after a young girl that you can actually micromanage the situation.
Ma'am, I had a wife that was about your age, and I don't have a wife your age anymore. You ditched her,
going for something younger.
Well, you know, because it started to sound like you every day. Yeah. That's what it sounds like. You sound like a machine.
I'm not posing for
you know something, lady? You sound like a machine that threw a ball bearing. You really
excuse me?
I said you sound like a machine that's just dropped a ball bearing. You sound like an engine
like
that dropped a rod.
Creep. Do you know what you sound
where,
like?
Where are you getting that? Where do you get that I'm a pedophile? I have never broken a law. I've never been charged with a crime.
Let me jump in. And both of you are you know, very passionate. Vernon, I have to ask you. You're a teacher. This is a mother. Let's just say that this was a woman. From your school, and she says, I maybe you're not doing anything wrong, but the perception seems very strange that there's only females, okay?
Look, let me say something to you. My name is on the stadium at the school, Vernon Dozier Stadium.
Well,
they're not going to fire me. You know, I said to these teachers, I said, look, you can fire me, or you can listen to people like this woman here. You can listen to this woman who sounds like a garbage disposal.
All right, you didn't want her insulting you.
Care about my children? Really, that makes me a garbage disposal. Because I want to protect them from people like you. That makes me a garbage disposal. Are you kidding me? You can't hide behind the fact.
I'd like to know why were you not fired? Why were you not fired for that photograph?
What photograph?
The photograph of you with your shirt off.
You creep. The one in your speedo.
Because they're not going to fire me. They're not going to fire me. They're not firing me. They're not firing a guy that.
You think like every other
ma'am,
pedophile, you're above the law. And you're not.
Every
you shouldn't be at that school exposing yourself
five,
to children.
I coached 5 Centaur League champions. We got 3 division titles with our varsity football team.
Aren't
and the
saying?
Stadium is called Vernon Dozier Stadium. So
and
it's
the first time that you
a
rape a young
hell,
girl because you can't handle
it. Rape a young girl.
So,
You know,
people like you.
You have made me so angry.
Hey, that's a hell of a thing to say.
I hope your school,
she's got me so pissed off.
I heard you say that. Because the first teenager that pisses
you
off.
No, they'll know that you pushed me into it.
You do.
They'll know that you pushed me into raping you. They'll know it.
Oh, come on, man. I want you to stop that kind of talk right now. All right, Lisa, thank you. We'll be back with more from Vernon Dozier, 877-876-PHIL.
You pushed me into that. Well, that's
Phil
not fair.
Henry.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
At that, but I was upset.
The Phil Henry Show.
And because of what that lady said.
We're welcome back to the Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Vernon Dozier is a high school teacher at Belmar Academy. He's the a member of the board there. He's a senior class advisor, health and sciences teacher, and the high school football coach. You have this Facebook page with 400 friends on it, and they're all female. You must expect that there's going to be parents that are going to be upset.
Phil, I told you that we dealt with the problem with the photograph, that I had taken a picture of myself. And put it on the Facebook page for my friends and fans. And, you know, they call them your friends or your fans. These are all my students.
And yeah, well, they were female students. You're in a Speedo.
Let's we could just forget about the Speedo, Phil, because that's what I was wearing down there to go swimming in. But I was taking a picture of the python bite. Now, when I got back and these parents had made an issue of this, I said, okay, I will resign. Now, I want you to hear this very clearly. I said to the board, I will resign. Well, that's all they needed to hear. And they said, we don't want you to resign, obviously, because I'm a very, very big part of that school. And they as much told these parents to turn around and don't let the screen door hit them on the ass on their way out. And I say that with the greatest of respect.
So they completely ignore the concerns of parents because you've been a longtime football coach.
No, they don't. They don't completely ignore the concerns of parents. I do not friend young boys, young men on my Facebook page because of the predatory nature of the current state of predatory homosexuals that are currently stalking the countryside. So I don't do that.
But that lady who was concerned about the girls?
Lady who was concerned about the girls. That woman that I just talked to?
Yeah.
That woman.
The woman that you said you'd rape if you met her.
I was saying, that's a very common phrase. I don't know whether you know that or not. But
that's a common phrase to say, hey, I'm going to rape you?
It's a very common phrase used when a woman is lying. She was saying she was upset with me. She did you hear what she said? She said, why don't you friend me? She's 44, so she wants me to be her friend. And I said to her, excuse me, but you're a few centuries too old, and I wasn't trying to be smartass. She already was being very, very rude to me. But I think her problem was very personal. She wanted to have a relationship with, not a relationship with me, but she wished that I had older women so she didn't feel so pruned up and croned out, you know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I don't hear that, though. We'll be back. Let's get a phone call in here on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking to Vernon Dozier. Claudia in Miami, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
This is Claudia, and I have a problem with Vernon because I think to my heart that he needs a little bit of help because he has a problem accepting that. But maybe he does not look good in the Speedo. Maybe perhaps there's a problem, but he needs the counseling to come into the grips of who he is. Do you understand?
Well, you understand why I'm wearing the Speedo, though. You know that, right?
No, why do, why, my friend, why you,
because
why?
Because it's very hot. I was in South America at the time. I was in Brazil, and we were doing some whitewater rafting. That's when I got bit by this python, so I'm in a Speedo because it's very, very hot.
No,
now,
my friend,
naturally,
if you're going to put
a picture up like you want to have show, you know, you're sending it to girls, what am I not going to wear?
No, the problem is that it is no good, and the problem is you need some help. So I have a counselor, a number for you.
Wait a minute, where do you get off with this idea that I don't look good in the Speedo? That's what I thought I heard the lady say.
No, it's no lady, no mi vida. My name is not the lady. The lady is Claudia. My name is Claudia from Miami. And the problem is, my friend, that you have a problem in accepting the fact that you don't look good in a Speedo, number one. Number two, the problem is...
How do you know that? How do you know? I may be the best thing you ever saw in a Speedo.
Well, that's not the issue, whether you look good in a Speedo or not. You're putting this up in front of kids.
My kids, maybe, perhaps, in their eyes, may say, oh, hey, he looks good. But to us, no matter what,
I had a Santa Claus hat in front of my thing.
All right, what about that picture that you took for Christmas time where you had that Santa Claus hat in front of your crotch?
I don't want a number. I'm not in Miami. Do you understand there, Juanita? I'm not.
All right, let's watch the Juanita thing, okay?
Well, what is it with you? I'm not in Miami there, genius, okay? How am I going to get to Miami if you can...
Wait,
hold on for a minute. Wait a minute. What are we talking about here?
We're talking about he needs help. He needs to help.
No, I know that. But Vernon, you're telling me what? You had a Santa Claus hat in front of your what?
I sent the Christmas. You don't remember that. And I was nude with a Santa Claus.
In front of your crotch, yeah. And you think that's appropriate to send a 15-year-old kid?
Burning Santa Claus hat was very small, obviously, because he had pruning. He had pruning because the Santa Claus hat has to be very small.
I don't know, Mr. Henry. I thought this was a show for white men. I don't know.
All right. Claudia, thank you very much for your call. 877-876 Phil. What does that mean, a show for white men?
That was my way of trying to get some sense into that woman because she's obviously was running off at the mouth, and I had to get racial, and I apologize. But she was...
Well, she thinks you need a psychiatrist. Do you?
No, I do not. And the fact that you would ask that question, when I've explained very carefully why I had a picture of myself, and you mentioned the Santa Claus hat. That is a standard look. That's a classical art look, the nude with something in front.
And it's for a page, for a Facebook page for your 15-year-old students, your female students.
And it's for a page, and it's a very, you mumbled and stumbled through it, but it is a Facebook page for my students.
Female students. Any comment?
No, I've made that very clear, Phil.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Alan in Anaheim, California. Alan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
All right, Phil, thanks.
Yes.
I don't think there's anything that we're going to say to get this guy to realize that he does need help and he definitely has a problem. But let me see if I understand the snake bite thing. The snake bite's on your shoulder.
What do you mean there's nothing you're going to be able to say?
The snake bite's on your shoulder. Am I correct?
I'm asking you a question. You're saying there's nothing you're going to be able to say to get me
to understand how sick you are. The snake bite is on your shoulder.
I'm not sick. There it is. I'm not sick.
Forget about the Speedos. Obviously, you don't want anybody to forget about the Speedos because you have the Speedos posted clearly on the picture.
Exactly.
It is a beefcake picture. And if you're showing your students, what you're trying to get the public to believe is that you're showing the students a snake bite on your shoulder. You have the capability of utilizing your iPhone to take a picture and posting it on your Facebook, but you can't take a picture of your shoulder? You can't take a picture of your shoulder?
I did take a picture of my... I took a picture of my shoulder, and
Santa Claus
somebody
hat,
said they could...
Santa Claus hat, Speedos hiked up in the back, 400 underage girls on your profile.
No, sir, that's wrong. Those are two different pictures. That's two different pictures. One picture was...
One picture was with the Speedos hiked up in the back, and what this gentleman's saying is if it's a snake bite on your shoulder, why do we see the whole thing?
You know what? I'm not asking anybody to look at my ass, if you'll pardon my language.
You clearly are asking people to look at your ass. You have it posted on your Facebook. And you're not asking people. You're asking 400 underage girls to look at it. You have no boys. You have nobody over the age of 18. You're saying you won't have a 44-year-old woman on your Facebook. Only underage girls. Your reasoning behind not having boys on your Facebook is because you don't want to be viewed as a predatory homosexual.
That's exactly, sir,
right.
Yes.
You don't mind being viewed as a heterosexual, a predatory heterosexual. Is that correct? Clearly it's predatory. Clearly. You're adding people to your Facebook that aren't your students.
How can it be predatory if these are all my students? They're all my students.
They're
not predatory. They're all my...
They're not.
You said they're not all your students.
You just said I add people because they look like my students. They have their names on the Facebook.
You know, I don't want to embarrass either one of you, but there are certain things that you need to know. If you're going to have a Facebook page for young ladies who are your students, who are underage, you got to put something up there that's going to keep the interest of these kids.
Now,
oh, come on, Mr. Dozier.
That's an admittance.
I mean,
that's an admittance. No, it is not admitted.
All I'm doing is...
Why can't you have a picture up of their favorite singers, of their favorite movies?
We don't approve of these kinds of films. Most of these movies, I guess you're going to see that, oh, they're better than me in my underwear. Is that it?
Yeah, I would rather you see posting a picture of Twilight or something, you know, like that than you in your underwear, yeah.
Well, Twilight happens to be about bloodsuckers. Boy, you guys are something else. You'd rather have your daughter see a movie about a bloodsucker that lives in a sewer system than me.
Absolutely. Than her teacher with a Santa Claus hat over her crotch. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Over her crotch?
No, over your crotch.
No, he said over her crotch.
No, well, he did not. All right, Alan, thank you. And your point is very, very well made. And I think he asked a question that you didn't answer. And
I answered every question that guy had.
No, you didn't answer the question about being perceived as a predatory heterosexual. Heterosexual. And what do you say to that?
Here's what I say to that. I'm not being predatory at all. These are my students. These are young women who want, maybe they want, I don't know, but maybe they want to see my backside. I don't know, and I'm not going to show it to them, but I'm going to get a picture of their snake bite because that's part of the education, and I happen to be in my underwear. The other part is, you want me to put up a poster that advertises a film about bloodsuckers that crawl the earth, okay, because this is the latest thing. Now, our teenagers are supposed to be interested in a cadre of blood-sucking things, undead things, all right, rather than me, with a pretty good body, and I didn't know it was my underwear. I thought it was Speedos.
Oh, yeah, I would. The kids like Twilight. The parents like Twilight. The books are good. Yeah. Yeah, and it's not about blood-sucking things.
Are you telling me it's not about vampires?
It's about vampires, but it's a stylized, very romanticized version of it. And I think, yes, without question, I agree with that man. Far better than seeing you in your underwear, I'm told now. And you said it was Speedos.
It's a good mistake. I thought I was wearing Speedos. I was wearing BVDs. And it's my fault, and I'll get the picture down.
It's BVDs, huh? And you're just figuring that out now?
Yeah, looking at the picture, yeah.
Pulled up in the back. See, all of that is just... Were you in the boat?
They were pulled up in the back because I don't know. I might have been wrestling with somebody. I don't know.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call. Manny in Fremont, California. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Manny.
Hey, Phil.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Yeah, what an interesting topic here tonight, man. I'm on my way home from church, and I hear all this madness, and wow, it's insane. I can't believe this is still on air. But you know, you're a great person to listen to, Phil. But this guy's just caught in several lies, and just amazing.
Is this guy a friend of yours?
No, he's not. Go ahead, sir.
Sounds like he's. Are you on a radio? Because you're all coming back from church. Church are you coming back from? What are you coming back from, sir? Like a Catholic church?
No. It's a Pentecostal church.
What kind of?
Not important, but.
Let me ask you a question. This is Tuesday night, if I'm not mistaken, or Wednesday. Yeah, it's Tuesday night. What night is this, Phil?
This is Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. Yeah.
What are you doing? People don't go to church on Wednesday night.
Well, I don't want to talk about that. Did you have a question, sir, or comment?
Anyhow, you know, I think this guy ought to be put under a magnifying glass. I think your school should be well aware of the tendencies that you possibly could have.
They are.
I'm not judging you, my friend.
I said that I would quit, and I would quit, and they didn't accept my resignation.
If
you were in church too long.
If I was caught with my hand as deep in the cookie jar as you are, then I'd probably want to resign and run away too, but...
The only time you have your hand in the cookie jar is when you got the bedroom door locked. I'm just kidding around.
All right.
You know what? That's very funny.
Well, I mean, this guy—he says he was in church, but he sounds like he hit a bowl or two. Before before he came out. I mean, what's going on with this guy?
You know what, Manny? I apologize.
Yeah,
Mr.
No
Dozier
worries,
apparently can't make an argument. He can't make an argument without insulting people.
Well, this guy comes on like he's a jazz musician.
I'm glad things are out in the light.
No, he's a very nice man, and he's saying he's a very nice man, and he's being very respectful. Manny, thank you for your call, sir.
All right.
Appreciate it very much. 877-876-PHIL. Regina in Houston, Texas. Or Regina, I should say. I'm thinking of the town, Regina, in Saskatchewan. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes, Regina, go ahead.
I just want to know why the guy would talk so bad about his male students.
Well, I haven't talked bad about my male students. I've said that they, if they're on my page, the first thing that happens is somebody like that Manny or somebody calls up and says, hey, he's got a bunch of boys on his page. He must be some kind of a fruit, a predatory fruit.
They're already calling you that with the girls.
Well,
so
you're using your students to talk bad about them.
You should not be a coach. You should not be a teacher. You should not be anything.
I have not done anything. What are you talking about?
You've ignored the question about why you would be the girls. Don't you feel you're being predatory?
I have female students who want to know about Coach Dozier's trip to South America, so I sent a picture by mistake. I'm in my underwear. Okay, I apologize.
And who wanted to know? What about the other picture? I guess they wanted to know about your Christmas too, right?
Well, I can hear you kind of smiling through that, so I bet you'd like to see a copy of that picture, wouldn't you?
Oh, Lord.
You know, Phil,
oh, come on. Will you answer her question? What is it with you with the Santa Claus hat?
As I said, and I'll say it again, it's a standard classic shot of a nude with a Santa Claus hat in front of his, his genitals. Now, in all kinds of art, whether it's a fig leaf, whether it's a baseball, or a, I don't know, what do you call it, basketball, they always have nudes that have that in front of there. And that's what I did.
For kids, though, this is what you don't seem to understand. There are 15-year-old kids that are looking at this, 16-year-old kids that are looking at this.
So you want to sexualize everything, huh? That's what you and this lady want to do. See, now I notice she's not saying anything. She's waiting for you to take the lead, Phil, because she's run out of ideas.
Shut up.
Okay.
Okay.
That, you know something? That,
now I go
know,
back
that,
to where I
hurts.
Started. Why would you sit here and be friends with the girls? They're not making your football game for you. The boys are, but you're sitting here talking about them gay.
You know, Mr. Hendry's the one that called you Regina, and that rhymes with you-know-what, and yet you're being all friendly with him. And me,
I misspoke. I was thinking of the town in Saskatchewan.
Huh? What does that got to do with a woman?
I was thinking of the town in Saskatchewan, Canada, when I saw her name.
Did you hear what he did, ma'am? See, she laughs. I think it's so unfair that I am a predatory creep that needs to be castrated, but you get a pass when you call her Regina.
You know something, buddy? You're looking. You're going all over the board here trying to find a way out of this, and we're not going to let you do it. Not yet. Thank you for your call, ma'am. 877-876-PHIL. No, we're not going to let Vernon Dozier away tonight too easy without answering questions. Why he has a Facebook page with all female students, none of his male students, while in the meantime, all over America, teachers and school districts are telling teachers not to friend their students on Facebook. Bad move. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The three-foot-long Santa hat, too.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Just a couple of minutes left. Let's go to Pam. Pam is in Fresno, California with Vernon Dozier. Hello, Pam. Go ahead.
Hi. I want to tell you,
hello.
I'm a school teacher, a mother, and
yes,
a board
ma'am.
Member.
Yes, ma'am.
And what he is saying is absolutely asinine. This is outrageous. It's teachers like him that give the educational system a bad name.
You know, as a teacher, I would hope that you would... I would hope as a teacher you'd tell the truth. As a teacher, I would hope you would tell the truth.
Well, of course.
Support what I'm doing.
Support what you're doing?
Ma'am, do you hear that? That's a dryer. I'm doing my wife's underwear right now. Now, does that sound like a guy that is a predator that is out looking for other women? I'm taking care of the woman that I've got.
That has nothing to do with the educational system. And I'll tell you what, as a mother whose son is a diving student, he's on the diving team, his coach doesn't wear a Speedo. It's inappropriate. And if my daughter was in your class, you would have a lawsuit faster than fast, I'll tell you. And as a board member...
What are you going to sue me for, ma'am? What are you going to sue me for? Think about it.
You know what? I would have your job. I would have your job. It's indecent.
They already tried to fire me. Well, they already tried to fire me, and they couldn't do it because they found out, you know, that... Hold on for a minute. What? Yeah, I got your underwear. See, that's my wife calling.
Mm-hmm. She should be proud of you.
Yeah. You know what?
Phil Hendry.
I want to meet you for coffee.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Want any harm to my child at the same time. I wouldn't want someone to...
I decided to wear my headscarf and show up at work. Here I am at work, starting to work.
Well, I think another site would be a better idea.
Most people will die, and the rest of us will be cannibals.
I've been vegetarian for 7 years, going on 8.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where every day is just a walk in the park. And coming up this hour, we're talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. And we will discuss with Ted the idea of tweeting while driving. And there is a discussion right now, and that has to do with a celebrity plastic surgeon who was killed Monday here in Los Angeles while tweeting as he was driving his car. It is a classic story. It's a very, very sad story and a tragic story, but it's just classic when it comes to this kind of thing, this tweeting while driving. This man was tweeting. In fact, the very last thing that he posted on his Twitter account was a picture of his dog. This was the last thing that this man was able to put on his Twitter account, a picture of his dog at the beach. And then, apparently, and we will get a little bit more specific with this, went over a cliff. He lived on a very tiny street in Malibu. He was texting while driving. If you've been through the Malibu area, the beach areas over there in Los Angeles, there is a lot of windy canyon stuff going on. There's some very steep drop-offs. This is just above the beach, up in the canyons above Pacific Coast Highway. And he's not the first guy to drive off a cliff up there. He was reportedly tweeting about his border collie, Jill, when he lost control of the car. Ominously, his final tweet included a photo of his dog atop some sand dunes in Malibu. What a drag. Public service announcement said advocacy campaigns dedicated to highlighting the dangers of texting or tweeting while driving have been rolled out by governments, consumer groups, and wireless companies, but the problem is not getting any better. Let's bring on now Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We're going to talk to Ted about this situation.
Ted's of Beverly Hills, Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, Phil, exactly. We are going to talk about that. I want to invite everybody to Ted's of Beverly Hills. You know, the summer is just heating up at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Come on into our prime rib room for a Ted.
Here at Ted's.
Where?
Do you want to put our meat in your
It's in Beverly Hills.
That's right. All right, Ted, did you know this gentleman, this poor man, his name, I should mention his name.
It was Dr. Frank Ryan, Phil. No, I did not know him, and a very sad story. I know that he had been in a relationship briefly with Charmaine Blake, who is a girlfriend, and she had given a quote, I think, to People magazine. It's sad because in so many ways, I think Frank, if I may call him that, it's like me and like a lot of people who live and work in this town. We are individuals with a
certain pay level, I guess, a certain income, and we are communicating with business associates. We're communicating with, in my case, I do communicate with customers by way of Twitter and by way of texting. And that, I think that what is so sad about the story is that Frank Ryan, Dr. Ryan, who is very accomplished at his job as a... he said he was a surgeon, right?
He was a plastic surgeon.
Yes, sir. The real problem, and I will never stop emphasizing this, and I think that the advocacy groups know this, the people that are dedicated to highlighting the dangers of tweeting, the additional legislation that we are interested in and that I am personally going to be taking to Sacramento next week on Wednesday and introducing as state bill, is that the real danger are the young people that are tweeting and texting, the teenagers that are tweeting and texting, the students and the young people and the kids that are distracted, that are driving at an excessive rate of speed. They are writing and not looking where they're going, and they wind up killing God knows how many people. I mean, we've heard of stories where these kids are running into the back ends of cars. If they run into the back end of a gasoline tanker or something, my God, you've heard the stories. As a matter of fact, Phil, I was driving down 405. Did you hear about the tanker truck on the 405?
No, I mean, when was this?
Well, it was a couple of weeks ago. I mean, there was black smoke. It was a kid texting, and he was doing in excess, they say, of 90 miles an hour, and he was going so fast he went right under the trailer of this tanker truck, and just a spark from his car as his car went underneath touched off an explosion, and the tanker truck, the car, I think a couple of cars behind it. This was a kid. This was some punk kid, and I, with all due respect, some punk kid that thinks tweeting is the most important thing. So I think that next week when we go to Sacramento, and we don't need to talk about Frank Ryan or even Ted Bell for that matter, because we are adult men. We are men who are in business. And
well, but before we get into the topic of kids that are tweeting, this was an adult man, Dr. Ryan, and he was texting the picture of a dog or tweeting the picture of a dog to his account.
But you see, as a professional, you're staying in touch with... hold on for just a minute, because I think you're getting the wrong idea.
I mean, it was just a picture of a dog, you know?
Well, but let me explain to you, because I don't know if you do this or not. When you're a professional and you are earning the kind of income and you are doing the kind of business that I do or a Dr. Ryan, you are going to stay in touch with customers and you're going to stay in touch with your clientele in a variety of different ways. Hi, I'm Ted Bell. Here's a picture of my wife. Hi, I'm Ted Bell. Here's a picture of our son, Josh. Here's my car. Here's my home. Here's me. And what are you doing? And we're having fun. You do that so that people know you're a living, breathing person, and you're not just something that takes their money. You see, Dr. Ryan was a living, breathing person until, you know, everybody wants to blame him. I'm a living, breathing person, and I'm not just here to take people's money.
Well, the young person that is texting and tweeting, they're a real person, too.
Well, they're a real person, and so are the six or seven people that they murdered when they ran into the back end of them and killed all of them. Because one teenager, Phil, and let me say this to your audience, one teenager texting can kill every Christian soul within a 50-yard area. If he's going fast enough.
All right, so your opinion is teenagers that tweet and text are the problem. But most of these advocacy groups are saying that it is everybody.
And that's where they get it wrong, Phil, and that's something we need to educate them on. Is Ted Bell a threat? No, he is not. Did Frank Ryan hurt anybody? No, he didn't. Frank Ryan drove off a cliff. If Ted Bell and Frank Ryan, or anybody who is in business and generates the kind of business that we do, we have a responsibility. We have a very responsible mind. So if I'm going to crash my car while I'm tweeting or texting, I'm going to make sure that I don't hurt anyone. And I'm sure we've all heard the story about the Marine pilot that crashed his jet into the ocean rather than crashing into some homes. Well, you're the same way with it when you're texting. I'm going to drive my car off a cliff. I'm going to do what I have to do, even if I have to drive my car into what you were mentioning, gasoline. If I have to drive my car into a gasoline refinery, I'll do that before I kill any people in the road.
And you drive your car into a gasoline refinery, you may just wind up killing a lot of people.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? I don't know. If I drive it into a big gasoline, not after 5 o'clock if there's no one there.
All right, so what you're saying is, are you saying you're the only guy responsible enough?
No, I'm not, Sam. I'm trying to get you to understand. If you're in business like Ted Bell or Dr. Frank Ryan or anyone, and you are generating a large amount of business the way that I do, you need to stay in touch with your customers.
All right, so you're going to be tweeting and you're going to be Twittering.
And you're going to be texting, yes. We don't kill people. The teenagers do. The other day, I'll give you this story, Phil. I was driving down the 405, and I saw this kid texting. I knew the kid was texting because he was looking up, he was looking down, he was looking up, he was looking down. And I said, you son of a you-know-what, I got you. I got you dead to rights. And I got around to the left side of his car, and I waved to him because I just very forcefully, I said, get it over, get over. And I was pointing to the other side. So the kid pulled it over, and I got out of the car. Before he even could get out of the car, I said, what the hell do you think you're doing?
And what did he say?
He said, what do you mean? I said, what the hell who do you think you are? I said, you could kill every Christian soul. And then this kid says to me, I'm from the West Side, I'm Jewish. And I said, you dirty little, and I called him a name. And I got back in my car.
You got this kid to pull over?
Yes, I did.
And you pulled him over just to read him the Riot Act?
I read him the Riot Act, yes, because he is texting and tweeting. And
he can't and you can because he's a teenager. I don't know whether you're going to be getting any people. You know, I don't know whether you're making your case here, Ted.
Let me ask you something. Did Frank Ryan kill anybody? No, he didn't. I'm not saying that it's that. I'm saying the first people you got to look at are these punk kids. And
when we look at the kids who are texting and tweeting, do we look at you?
No, I think you're missing the point. You're not looking at Ted Bell is not killing anyone while he's texting. Ted Bell is communicating with customers and trying to stay in business so his employees get paid. See, I'm Ted Bell. I'm not a punk kid in his dad's Lexus or whatever they're driving these days, in his mom's boxy-looking Mercedes. And I'm texting, and I'm looking up, and I'm looking down, and I'm looking up, and I'm looking down. Boy, when I see a kid looking up and looking down, I won't let that. I pull them over now, Phil. That is what I do, and that's just something that I do. And I would recommend to any parent, you know. All right, we break.
Yeah, we have to take a break. Hold on. 877-876 Phil.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
All right, we're going to come back here with Ted Bell. We're talking about texting and tweeting. And in Ted's mind, he and other businessmen should be given a pass. It's the teenagers that are texting and tweeting that are causing the problem. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Should men in business, women in business, people who are making money, should they be allowed to text and tweet? And only kids who are texting and tweeting, should they not be allowed? 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
And we have Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills joining us as we talk here about our tweeting and texting while driving.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
In this segment, what I want to talk about in this segment is how I text and I tweet our menu, Phil, and our specials for the night. So what I'm doing is I am constantly doing business, and that is far better than what a lot of these punk kids are.
All right, Ted is with us, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. So when you're texting and you're tweeting, for instance, what?
Well, I'll give you an example, Phil. And I am constantly, and let me, I don't know how to say this because it is a difficult thing. People never want to really believe you. I can text and tweet while I drive. I know you don't want to believe me, but I'm able to. And I,
when you say you're able to, you know that you're able to, Ted, until you get into an automobile accident. You know,
No. It's not like that. I know I can look down and look up and look down and look up.
And isn't that what you said that the kid was doing?
Well, the kid, I could see his head going up and down. You know, if you're texting while you're driving the right way, your eyeballs are going up and down, but your head stays staring ahead. That punk kid that I saw, and I excuse me for using the words punk kid, but I could have thrown this kid under the wheels of the next passing truck when he busted out that line about I'm Jewish, I live on the West Side.
And well, you were saying every Christian soul. He was just trying to be funny.
He was trying to be funny? Was he? Was he trying to be funny as he was texting and almost running into the back end of a Suburban with a mother and five kids in it that would have instantly gone up in flames? And the screams...
All right, Ted, I mean, this is, you're getting a little dramatic. What I'm trying to find out here is what it is you're doing while you are driving. What are you texting?
I'm going to tell you, I text the menu, I text that we have the Jack Veneer Trio is going to be in, our menu items for tonight, we got the petite filet. I'll give you an example, we have a petite filet tonight, we have a thick-cut ribeye that I'm in love with. I mean, I'm desperately in love with this thick cut that we just got in. We've got our cowboy ribeye as usual, which is the bone-in. New York strip, the porterhouse for two, the T-bone. We've got our barbecued shrimp that people go absolutely insane over. We've had fights, Bill, for the last shrimp. So, now, that's business. And you're telling me I don't get to tweet that? No. No way. No way. Not when LJ or what is that rib joint down the street from me?
I think it's LJ's.
Yeah, not when they're trying to beat my brains in.
All right, 877-876-PHIL as we talk to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Tweeting and texting while driving. Who should be allowed to do it? Who shouldn't be allowed to do it? Here is Michelle in Denver listening on The Truth, KTNI. Hi, Michelle, go ahead.
Hey, I think Ted needs to get out there in the real world a little bit. If he's in Beverly Hills, why doesn't he get his Bluetooth, his secretary, and let her do all the tweeting from his office?
I'm the one that's writing the menu. I write the menu, and I put it out there for everybody. I don't get my secretary to write the menu. I do.
You know, my nephew's funny, and he goes to Marquette, and he's not a punk kid. Does that make it illegal for him to text?
Did I call your nephew a punk kid?
How do you define who's a punk kid and who isn't?
Oh, I'll tell you who the punk kid is.
Yeah,
and what's he tweeting? What does he tweet about? Is he tweeting about where he's going to be drinking this Friday night? That's not a valid tweet.
You get into this whole thing of what is a valid tweet. Yeah.
If I'm doing, I'll give you an example. If I have a business that generates capital and keeps people employed, and I'm promoting that business to try to generate more capital and keep more people employed, that is a valid tweet, as opposed to a Marquette student who's telling everybody where he's going to be banging down the beers this Friday night with his bros, you know, after the lacrosse game. I with all due respect.
Well, how are you going to know, though, Ted?
I'm just telling you. Let's get real about these tweeting campaigns.
I know. Well, how do you know a punk kid from a very well-educated junior in college?
By what he tweets. And if he's talking
how would you know?
Here is a photograph of my pink.
In the car?
No, I'm talking about what you read. And if here's a picture of my penis. Is that valid? No. I'm doing it under the guise of business.
I'm sorry, what were you going to say, Michelle, about Oprah?
Well, I'm just saying, yeah, Oprah's the no phone zone pledge. Ted obviously hasn't heard of that out there in Beverly Hills.
You got a thing about me being in Beverly Hills and you're stuck in Denver. I'm real sorry about that.
Wait.
I love Denver, honey. Believe me, I'm not stuck anywhere.
You got a real problem with me being in Beverly Hills. Now, what was Oprah doing?
No, I really thought, I think all the cliches
tell
and
me
all
about
the movies
Oprah.
About guys with their convertibles and their little phones.
Tell me about Oprah. Can we get back on topic? Let's get back on. You say you don't care about Beverly Hills. You just did 30 seconds on it. What about Oprah?
Oprah's got
you
the
said
no
something about Oprah.
Head. I don't think Ted knows anything about that. And
no, I don't.
Trying to save lives. And
but if you're in Denver, I guess you watch Oprah.
All right, Ted. But the point is that Oprah is on this situation.
Well, like, Oprah can be on any situation she wants. That's I'm not Oprah. I'm Ted Bell.
Well, most
and
of
I'm
the celebrities
for a
are
living.
Out there
I'm
in Hollywood and Beverly Hills, and they're all pledging not to use their phones in their cars. Whether, you know, and they make millions of dollars, Ted. You know, you probably don't make quite that much money.
I don't believe you. I think you're obsessed with Beverly Hills. You're bringing that up all the time.
I'm not upset with anything. I'm just telling you lots of celebrities are making that pledge to not use their phone in their car.
I don't follow celebrities. I'm not talking about celebrities. I'm talking about guys that are in business. You know, this woman is irritating me.
I think she's making some very good points.
She's irritating me. Would you please?
Why is your business so important to run out of your car, Ted?
Would you we're in a recession. Hello? Wow. Boy, did I catch you on that one. Hello, it's a recession that we're in. Everybody is, working harder.
Well, what's that got to do with working
you
out of your
heard
car?
About it? You
20 years
about
ago,
that?
We didn't have cell phones, Ted.
About,
everybody
haven't,
did okay
haven't heard
then.
About a, haven't heard about a recession. Oh, they did? No, I don't think so.
Ago, nobody had cell
haven't
phones.
Haven't heard about
Ted.
A recession,
everybody
huh?
still had success to do hey, it right their businesses
it's
from their
called
office.
A recession. R-E-C-E-S-S-I-O-N. Recession.
Hey, Ted, I'm just saying. What did you do 20 years ago?
All right, Ted, we got you. Thank you very much, Michelle, for your call. God almighty.
Well, she's all right. Well, where did you hear it? Have you heard about a depression, huh? Starving
Phil
children?
Henry.
She loves kids so much. Beverly Hills, we're talking here about tweeting and twittering and who gets to and who doesn't, but I almost forgot to tell you we've got our lamb. Mary had a little lamb at Ted's.
Here at Ted's.
That's for Mary.
Is that true?
We have a lamb dish. We call it Mary Had a Little Lamb because it's fun, but it's kind of a family dish. It's a lamb roast. It's delicious. And we make it with cloves and we've got pepper. It's a tremendous dish. And it's limited time only at Ted's of Beverly Hills. We want to get everybody in here. Phil, I had a thought on something here before you get to some phone calls. And that is the following thing. When I tweet and when I Twitter and I'm driving, I'm really doing it for everybody because we are business people who are generating capital. We're business people who are advertising. We are business leaders who are doing business. And when these kids that are driving around, that lady, she has a kid who goes to Marquette. That's a great school. And I forget what the lady's name was.
I forget her name was Ann, but she was making a point that her son goes to Marquette, is a responsible young man, and isn't driving around tweeting about ridiculous stuff.
Well, I don't know that. All I know is this. Rather than tell that the problem, and keep telling me the problem is me, the problem that we've got to keep focusing on are these kids driving around tweeting. And they are the kids of these people. And
You told me you've had accidents while tweeting.
I've been in accidents while I've been tweeting, but that they are as the result of people not noticing that I have been tweeting. And that's when we introduced the Tweeter-Dum. You've heard of Tweedledee and Tweedledum, right?
Yeah.
We introduced Tweeter-Dee and Tweeter-Dum. If you are Tweeter-Dee, you are someone who should be tweeting. If you're Tweeter-Dum, you're an idiot. You're some idiot that's going to get people killed. And that's what happened.
No, you told me that your car had run into the back of someone in a Mini Cooper, of all things. And they spun up onto a siding or into a gas station.
Yeah, but that was as the result of some old lady that didn't see me tweeting.
Well, how are people going to know that?
That's what I've been talking to you about. When you notice someone's head going up and down or you see their eyeballs going up and down, you know that they are tweeting, and we have to be aware of what's going on in traffic is what I'm trying to say, Phil.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Virginia. She is calling from Boston tonight, listening on WTKK. Go ahead, Virginia. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I am livid now. This guy is an idiot. Okay, texting in Massachusetts, texting while driving is illegal. What makes this man think that he is able to text while driving, and this young man who is probably better at computers and texting and all the technology than he is as an older person, and he thinks that he can text while driving and this kid can?
Well, no, because I'll tell you why. That kid doesn't understand that he's going to die. I have a concept of death and mortality. And as No, because I'm older. And also, I am texting about business. I'm not texting who has the beer bong and what apartment are we going to be in. Ridiculous things
like
that.
How do you know what he's texting about? You don't know what's on his mind. The old lady doesn't know that you're texting. It's not her responsibility to see that you are texting. It's her responsibility to look ahead at the road and see what's right in front of her.
She has to see what the other drivers are doing. You're absolutely right. If she can't see my eyeballs going up and down between... I mean, this is a new day and age that we live in when it comes to texting, driving. There's all kinds of things going on. And she's going to see as she...
You're talking about an elderly woman who's supposed to see your eyeballs going up and down?
I'm not going to be having my... I'm not having my head going up and down because that's a dead giveaway that you're texting. And I pulled that kid over, and I told you, and I'll say to this lady, I told that punk kid, that if he's going to be out on the freeway murdering human beings...
You said Christians, by the way. You said Christians.
It's an expression. No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You said every Christian soul.
I don't remember saying. I said, and I threw in Jews too. No, I threw in Jews too.
Then why did the kid say, "I'm Jewish"?
Boy, you guys!
Can I say something about that?
If you're making it up, no, I don't want to hear more.
Yes, no, Ted, go ahead, Virginia, go ahead.
He did make a snide remark about the kid said, "Well, I'm Jewish," and then he said, and then I don't know the name of this person, but he said, and then I said about that.
My name is Ted Bell. I'm Ted Bell, and you got all these opinions, but you don't even know who I am.
I didn't know your name, but I know what you're saying. And you made a remark about him being a Jew. You said it, and you said it like you made a snide remark about it. I'm driving, and I'm not texting. I'm parked on the side of the road, and I'm calling because I'm so livid about this.
Wait a minute, Virginia. If you're talking about that kid. I said, yeah, the west side of L.A. is crawling with Jews. Is that a problem?
Oh, my God.
Oh, get out of here. I've got Jewish customers, and you know I do.
Oh, my God.
Here we go. Here's the Catholic from Boston weighing in.
Ted.
I am a Catholic, and I'm defending the fact
Of course
that
you're
you
Catholic. Of course you're Catholic.
Guess what? I'm practicing Catholic.
Of course, you're in Boston. No, I do not. I simply said, though, that kid with his little beanie almost murdered every Christian.
With his little beanie.
Oh, my God.
Get a load of you two. But you're going to turn everything into, like, and you don't want, see, so in other words, Phil, and I want to congratulate you, Phil, for destroying this segment, because this was going to be about business people who text and need to text, and you've turned it into Ted Bell, the living disciple of Adolf Eichmann.
Well, you're the guy with the whole West Side's crawling with Jews.
Because she made an issue out of it. I didn't say anything.
Virginia, thank you very much for your call.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Mel in Los Angeles. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Phil. Yeah, I'm absolutely up in arms over this complete anti-Semite you have there. I just like you to know that I'm Jewish.
What?
I do live in Brentwood.
Excuse me?
Yes, you're anti-Semite, my friend.
You know that
after New York, Los Angeles, Brentwood in particular, is the second largest home for the Jewish population, and you have the audacity to call us people who are crying.
You ever heard of Israel?
In Los Angeles?
You ever heard of Israel? You've ever heard of Israel? What do you mean the second largest? You have heard of Israel.
Second largest
well, he's talking
York,
about
in, my friend, in the United States.
In the United
in the
States is what he's saying.
In the United States, Ted. And I don't know what you're doing just trying to get free advertisement Henry's show and mass
talking about
some actual agenda. And you're talking about using the K word to this kid. Which, yeah, I heard what you said, Ted. I heard what you said, my friend. Okay? Just Christian souls. No, you said specifically at the very roughly this beginning of the segment that you had gotten out of your car after you called him a young punk, then you called him another word. Did you not? You stated that, sir. I'd like to know what word you used for this quote-unquote kid with a beanie on his head.
I can't say it on the air without Mr. Henry dumping it. It begins with a rip out with the
phone. I don't know where you found this
Ted,
gentleman.
It's Ted, your whole thing was, you're talking
able,
about
I've
these guys.
I'm
your,
talking about being able to text when I want to text and tweet. When I'm trying to run a business here, sir.
Yes, I've never heard
kid.
Of your small little business from Beverly Hills, Ted. Obviously, it doesn't
you know
exist.
What? Excuse me. Well, I don't think you've been to Beverly Hills. Then you've never been to Beverly Hills.
I live and drive through Beverly Hills every day, Ted. I've never heard of your small little mom-and-pop operation.
Oh,
probably
it's not
out
a
of
deli.
The back of a closet
it's
shack.
Not a no, it's not a deli.
It's janitorial supplies. On Wilshire, my friend.
If all you do is visit delis, then no, you've never been to my restaurant.
Okay, now what does that mean?
Excuse me? So the Jews are going to Cantor's Deli. Is that right? Is that right, Ted, my open-minded Christian soul friend?
If you've never heard of
Ted's
Beverly Hills.
You're the reason that the Holocaust happened, my friend. You're the reason.
Are you hearing this? I'm the reason. When most of my customers are Jews.
Boy,
we're still around and alive to help him.
I've got plenty of Jewish friends. Some of my very dearest friends are Jews that come in.
Oh, I'm sure themselves your friends after what you've said this evening, sir.
When I'm on the
Christianity,
on the 405 freeway, and this guy says he's never heard of my restaurant. Of course not. When all you have for lunch are pickles and sauerkraut.
Wow.
Mr. Henry,
he just hung up. I apologize, but very good call, sir. It was a very good call, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr.
It's all right, 877-876-PHIL. You going to get him back?
Yeah, but he's probably going to be all mad and everything now.
Call him back. Don't worry about it, okay? Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, the last thing that he said. Ted?
Yeah. Look, I'm going to tell you something. You got me... Now, an anti-Semite.
Didn't you say that?
I used an expression every Christian soul. He used it in that movie, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and the guy that directed that movie was a Jew!
Let's take a break and calm down. We'll take a break here. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. More of your calls with Ted Bell. Plus, still to come, Obama has no regrets for his mosque comments. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous, groundbreaking Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bill Henry Show.
I know more Jews. I know more Jews than a lot of Jews, though.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hi, this is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills. I want to say something. I have great Jewish friends. I probably have more Jewish friends than most Jewish people do. And I know that's difficult to understand. But
wanna put our meat in your mouth.
Look at Ted. Let's just start all over again.
No, hold on for a minute. I want to make this statement.
Well, let's start all over again, and then I have to get to some phone calls, okay?
I want to make a statement. First of all, how do I know there are Jewish people coming into my restaurant? Because they tell me, the first thing, how do you know someone's Jewish? They always say, I'm a Jew. That's number one. That guy Mel that called, hi, Phil, I'm a Jew. Always happens. That's number one. Number two, you know, I'm looking at your video. Can I say something to you?
The what?
Can I say something about your video cast?
Yeah, go ahead. What?
I'm looking at you on the video cast, and you've got on a hat that makes you look like you're a World War I German sergeant or something. What is that hat?
It's like a ski cap. It's for my Silver Strand Beach ski cap. What difference does it make?
I don't know. It just reminded me of something out of All Quiet on the Western Front. But seriously, Phil,
Are you making jokes?
I am not making jokes, no.
Let's get to it here.
I would remind you who's sponsoring this segment of the show.
I don't care right now, Ted. I want you to get to it and explain it.
I'm explaining it, and I'm saying that I don't know what he's talking about, and I resent you backing me into this anti-Semitic corner.
You're the guy that said the West Side is crawling with Jews. You made the whole thing when you said every Christian soul, and then you had the kid, and you said the punk kid, this and that. I didn't start all of that. You did.
But you could have stopped it.
No, I'm not going to stop a conversation going in any particular direction, especially if it was informed by the comments of the people involved in it. Here is Jim in Nashville, Tennessee. Jim, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Phil Henry.
Sure.
I don't know who put Ted above the law. There's so many states that have laws that you can't tweet while driving. In a lot of states, you can't even use a cell phone unless it's a hand-free device. You know, if I have a lot of respect for hands-free device, you have to have a headset. I respect people in business a lot, but get an office. If you need to tweet that much, you can't go around driving a car tweeting. I don't care if you're 16 or 60, it doesn't matter what it's about.
The real danger are these kids that are under the age of like 18 or, you know who I'm talking about, and they're out there tweeting about their girlfriend's breasts or how they, I don't know.
The real danger is tweeting. It isn't what you tweet about. It's the fact that you're taking your mind off of the driving. I drive an 18-wheeler for a living. My God, the people that I see tweet, heck no, I don't tweet. I don't
Why
talk
not?
On a cell phone. I can't tweet and drive.
Don't
it's
you
against
let people
the law.
Don't you want to know
against
the, people
the law.
That you're I close don't. To getting where you're going?
No, the man just said it's against the law, Ted.
It's against
I understand,
the law.
But I'm trying to say that a guy like this, me, well, maybe not this gentleman, he's a truck driver, but me, all right? I own a...
Oh, wait, whoa. What do you mean he's a truck driver?
I'm a truck driver.
You don't, but he doesn't employ people, so he's not responsible for, a lot of...
Well, he's hauling commerce, he's hauling freight. This is a guy that's keeping businesses alive by taking materials between businesses. You don't think that's important?
You know, Mr. Henry, I resent the fact of you playing up to this guy just because you want to make me the bad guy and you want to suck up to this guy.
No, I'm asking
you a question.
You might
not be a bad guy, Ted, but you're breaking the law by tweeting while you're operating a motor vehicle. You know, why don't you take, a half gallon of bourbon and drink it instead?
What?
No, we're all
That's
children, of,
that,
we're all
sir,
children
I,
of God.
Sir,
we're all
I
children of God,
I,
regardless if we tweet or not.
There we go.
But we
I knew,
still
I knew
break
there had
the
to
law.
Be a religious. I knew
we
there
still
had to be a
break the law if we tweet.
Are you
we still
try
break
to make
the law
Christian
if we
now?
Tweet.
All right. Thank you very much. You're absolutely right, Jim. There's no question. Thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Eric in Santa Rosa, California, listening on KNEW. Go ahead, Eric.
This proselytizing I can't take.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
All right. Ted, you're a professional businessman, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I guess my big problem is that you seem to think that you're higher than everyone else by tweeting and driving. It's just irresponsible. It's that simple. That's the bottom line. It's worth a month.
I agree. And I think you have to attack the problem where the real problem lies. And the real problem with tweeting is with these kids. And I don't know if you've seen them, but they drive around, I can't hear the gentleman, Phil.
Your phone cut out, Eric. Say that again.
You see the problem when you argue that it's okay for you to do it, but it's not okay for a certain age bracket to do it?
No, I don't understand what that's the whole point. There is no problem if you just listen to me and go along with what I'm saying.
That's the problem. You want people to go along with something that doesn't make any sense.
Why doesn't it make sense to have an adult man who owns a business tweeting and not some punk, sniveling kid who's tweeting about he just saw his first flash of ass on TV.
Shit. We've been over this already. I know that part.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my next question for you. What kind of phone do you use?
I got an iPhone.
You have an iPhone. Are you aware of an app called Dictation?
An app called what?
Dictation. Like dictating.
Dictation?
Dictation. It's an app. It's a hands-free app that allows you to text and tweet.
Yeah.
It's all hands-free.
Oh, so you are telling me to tweet and text. Oh.
And tweet
so now
and
what we have, Mr. Henry, is the height of hypocrisy. This guy...
Hold on for a minute. The man is telling you that if you need... I think what he's saying is if you need to tweet and text so bad, he's got an application that you can get in the App Store called Dictation. Is that what it's called, Eric?
Yes, it is. Correct. It's free. That's the best one. It's up there right now. I just downloaded it. I use it constantly. I don't take my eyes off the road. I'm not
skirting my... It bothers me because it makes it seem like me texting is bad.
Texting
out of principle, I wouldn't want to use it.
I think I'm going to look into it. It's called Dictation. I think I will look into it. Thank you, Eric, very much. All right, let's go over to Bill. Bill, we've got about a minute. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, first off, Ted, it's unanimous. You're a moron. You're sitting there telling
unanimous, huh?
Exactly, buddy. Let me tell you something. You're telling these young kids that texting while driving is wrong, but they look over and see you on the highway doing it. You know, don't do as I do as I say do, right? I mean, you make no sense.
My
iPhone
is going up and down.
Your argument's full of holes, brother. It doesn't make any difference. When you take your ass off the road, young or old, you're risking somebody else's life. I don't agree with any of it. I run around at night. Anytime I have to talk, I pull over. I don't even text. But, you know, you're sitting there making all these comments about, you know, punk kids. I've got children, you know, and they know not to text while driving. But, you know, you look over and see a young man.
Yeah, and you know what? Their heads are going up and down. And their heads go up and down. My eyeballs go up and down, and that's it. So my head.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
I mean, there were no marks on the baby.
Now, what is emergency? Oh, yeah, please, on Tillman Bridge.
The Constitution gives us freedom of religion.
Well, I think another site would be a better idea.
I forgot he was black tonight.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And remember...
I forgot he was black tonight.
Every night here, we've got our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Let me say that again.
I forgot he was black tonight.
philhendryshow.com for all of your radio needs. Our archives wide open. Our video casts wide open. We've got archived animated features. We've got our news feed. We got it all, baby. We got our podcast, three different kinds of podcasts. And, of course, our daily podcast of this show, downloadable and available each and every day at a 5-day archive of our video cast. People are saying, hey, do you have a deeper archive of the video cast? It's a pretty big file, but we do keep select video casts. And one of the things we're going to start doing is turning into a podcast, our pre-show. For those of you who are just listening on radio and you've yet to discover our backstage pass, we have an entire hour that we do before the show from 9 to 10 Pacific from 11 to, what is that, from midnight to 1, right, bud?
Let me, hold on for a minute. What time is it now?
There's the clock.
12:06 p.m.?
In any event, p.m. I've got it, okay?
No, 12:06 a.m.
Yes. In any event, from 12 to 1 a.m. Is our pre-show. So check it out. That's East Coast. Check it out at philhendryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard joining us here for our news hour.
This story has so many different twists and turns and ways of approaching it. And I really want to be fair, and I think I am a fair guy. I think that people would agree, if you've listened to me over the years here on the show. I'm not a right winger. I'm not a conservative. I'm not a liberal or a progressive, because I can't stand either group. But I am American, and here's the thing. This is not the Muslim thing that's going on right now. Like, I'll tell you what the story we're talking about is. This young lady here in California who was going to work for Disneyland, and she wants to wear her hijab, which is the headscarf, and she's now suing for discrimination, and she became a citizen in June, and now she immediately goes to Disneyland, and boom, let's go ahead and let's get that discrimination lawsuit going. Yeah. To me, that's very calculated, and there's something extremely cynical about it and very phony. And it's not a Muslim issue. It's not a religious issue. Wait a minute, Phil. What are you talking about? Because I can see you guys are looking curious, right?
Yeah, well, how come you say not? She want to wear a hijab, you know?
Now, but I'll tell you why. An American Muslim, like an American Catholic, like an American Jew, like an American Jane, like an American Dick and Jane, whatever, we understand that we have our religion and we also have our country. And, you know, probably America is the greatest representation of that line from the Bible that they tell us Jesus said. You know the one that he said?
Well, he said a lot of them.
No. What he said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God. There's, I don't think there's ever been a country in the history of the world that does that as better than America. We render to Caesar, we render to God. And somehow we've been able to work it out. So this is not a Muslim issue. The hijab, this young lady at Disneyland, this is not about your religion, young lady. This is about your immigrant attitude. You're an immigrant to this country. You're an American citizen, but you're an immigrant. And the first thing you did, not as a Muslim, this is not a Muslim issue, is as a rather uneducated immigrant about the ways of our country, you're filing a lawsuit. One of the things that's very common in the world, extremely common in the world, is a general ignorance of American culture. People like to say that Americans are insular and never get out and never really get to know anything, and we really don't know jack crap about the world, and aren't we stupid? And that may be true, but something that's equally true is that the very same people that say that, they don't know a damn thing about this country. Not a damn thing. And I'm talking about some of the world's most powerful people continually underestimate, overestimate, or don't read the United States worth a damn. And it continues up to this very day. Here's someone who is a 26-year-old woman claiming discrimination against Disneyland for sending her home for wearing her hijab, a Muslim symbol of faith, to work. Her name is Iman Bodul. She is a hostess at the Storyteller's Restaurant in Disneyland's Grand Californian Hotel, and she says she's not allowed to wear the headscarf while at work and has been sent home 4 times without pay. It is Disney policy that employees only wear clothing in public that is provided by the company. Bodul has worked at Disneyland for 2.5 years, but didn't try to wear the hijab to work until this past weekend. She's an immigrant from Morocco and has been in the United States for 5 years. She became a U.S. citizen in June. After being granted her citizenship, Bodul decided to challenge Disney's strict clothing rules. She says the U.S. Constitution grants everyone religious freedom, and that right applies in this case. The Constitution, she says, tells me I can be a Muslim and I can wear the headscarf. Who is Disney to tell me that I can't? Well, I'll tell you who they are. They are the mouse. I mean, that you don't know the things they can know. I'm just kidding. So let's listen to a statement here from Iman Bodul talking to KTLA television here in Los Angeles about being sent home for wearing the headscarf.
I just decided to wear my headscarf and show up at work. Here I am at work, starting to work. And then after 3 hours, one of my managers called me and they said, well, Iman, you're not in compliance with Disney. Look, we have your hijab wasn't provided by Disney. Either you can work at the back or you go home.
Yeah. And that's kind of how it is. All right. Bodul filed a discrimination complaint with the U.S. Equal Opportunity Employment Commission on Wednesday in downtown Los Angeles. She arrived for work on Wednesday afternoon wearing her hijab, accompanied by members of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. And a great many people
have very strong feelings about this organization care. There's a lot of people that don't think those guys care about anything other than being pains in the ass. Her manager gave her the option of working in an area out of public eye or going home without pay. Badul chose to go home without pay, claiming it is a right to wear the scarf as part of her religious freedom, especially during the holy month of Ramadan. Disneyland officials said they were working to accommodate this pain in the, this young lady. She was fitted for a Disney-supplied headscarf, but was not given a date when the garment would be finished, and was told she couldn't wear her own hijab in the interim. We've been working directly with her on accommodation. In the interim, we offered reasonable accommodations to allow her to work during the scheduled shifts, which she declined. So Disney has developed something, and if you know anything about Disneyland, these people have made it it's almost like a new part of the company charter to be as accommodating as they can to everybody. I mean, gay night pretty much sums that one up, you know?
Yeah, I remember the gay night, but you don't have to look at that.
Well, what do you mean you don't have to look at that? I mean, only gay people are allowed?
Yeah, isn't that right?
I don't know. I just know that it's gay night. Gay folks can come in.
Yeah. So give me the heads up on gay night, I don't go. But I'm going to go and I got to see that. No.
Well, what is your problem with that, man? So you got a problem with her wearing the headscarf?
Yeah, just like you do.
I don't, No, I don't. If Disney is satisfied that the headscarf she's wearing complies with the company policy, what the company's trying to present to the public, because Disneyland is a theatrical presentation, then if Disney's fine, I'm fine.
Oh, wait. You saying Disney going to let her wear a scarf? I thought they were not going to let her wear a scarf.
No, Disney's going to make one.
Disney's making a scarf, they're fitting her for a Disney-supplied headscarf, one that would comply, that they feel would comport well with the way the rest of the people look. And if Disney's fine with that, I would be fine with that. And so, because you're dealing with a company here, of all the companies to sue, lady, I mean, these people have bent over backwards since time began to try and accommodate people, you know?
Yeah, and when they give the heads up on gay night...
Will you shut up about gay night, man? What is it with you?
I'm not homophobic. That's why I get the heads up.
Yeah, I'll bet you want the heads up.
What? Oh. All I'm saying is when I'm going to have it.
So that you don't make the mistake of going there that night? Is that your trouble? God, bud.
Well, are you going to go?
I don't care. Yeah, I'll go. Especially if I go on gay night and there ain't that many people there. That means the lines are shorter. That means I get on a ride faster. Hell yeah, I'll go. But I don't know what they're going to let. I don't know how they work gay night.
Yeah, you know what they do? They have a Muslim night. And that way she can put on a head, put on a beanie or whatever, and it won't be a problem.
They ain't going to have. No, it doesn't work that way.
Well, what are you talking about? If they have a gay night, why can't they have an Islam night?
They're not going to have an Islam night, man, because... I don't know why they're not going to have an Islam night. They don't have a Catholic night, and they have the gay night because of the dancing thing. I think that's why they had that.
What?
I think they had gay night, and they continue to have gay night because guys dance together and women dance together, and it was bugging some of the heterosexuals.
You mean they didn't want to look at them do it?
Right. Guys like you. Okay, give me the heads up, man. It's a gay night. I ain't going to be there.
Well, it's not that I don't care. I'm not homophobes. But
it's not like a virus homophobes, you know? It's homophobic. And yeah, that's what you are. Because you're all bugged out.
No, I'm not.
You're all bumming about seeing gays dance. And no, they're not going to have a Muslim night, man, because it's different. Like, every day you're gay and every day you're Muslim, but for some reason, the gay people, they have to be segregated into their own night because they're dancing together, pisses off straight people. Well, guess what, man? If anybody screws up Disneyland, that pisses me off.
Well, man, that ain't like your religion or something.
Maybe it is. Maybe that's the closest to a religion I've ever had. I mean, I don't worship at the altar of Disney, but I don't want... If I go to Disneyland, I want it to be Disneyland. I don't want them bending over backwards, accommodating somebody so it looks like... It looks funky.
Well, how gonna look funky with a headscarf or something like that?
Okay. You know the Jungle Ride?
Yeah.
Well, what the hell, man? I mean, they're going to have a chick running the Jungle Ride with a headscarf instead of that pith helmet? I don't know.
Yeah, but they could have her be like the Muslim, like, traitor or something.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It seems kind of far out. Anyway, they have been working with her, and they say that they're trying to do the best that they can, and they don't know what the problem is. And this is just one of these situations. She's been here 5 years. She wants to wear a headscarf. She doesn't quite get it. Okay, wear your freaking headscarf. I mean, I don't think that woman understands this country. I don't think anybody understands this country if they are any kind of a person, native born or immigrant, and they feel like something cultural or religious must be mandated, because it does not have to be mandated. The Constitution very clearly says you have religious freedom, but not to the extent that it interferes with the conduct of life everywhere else. You know?
But if they put her like in a headscarf and they put her on a, I don't know.
Like, what about the ice cream cart? I guess the ice cream cart. I don't know, man. I don't even want to think about it. You guys were talking about it's a small world. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show here. Every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Our email address. What is our email address? Our email address. Well, you can email us by way of our website. That's right. Go to the website and hit email Phil, and boom, you email me. And we do have guaranteed email response to every email that we get over there. Ann Coulter gets into it with WorldNet Daily. What did we tell you guys a long time ago about WorldNet Daily? Well, Ann Coulter, she's finally getting a nose full of those guys. Coming up next, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show, the groundbreaking Phil Henry Show. Visit our website, philhenryshow.com. Get the podcast. All right. You know, just to show you this Muslim thing, it ain't about party. It ain't about ideology, because look at the people that are coming down in on the side of people that would rather we not see a mosque there right now, you know, at ground zero. I mean, if it's all the same, do you mind if we maybe put it somewhere else? Because it kind of bugs people. And I realize that, you know, it seems to be the agenda for some very, very activist people, whether they're Muslim or immigrant or both, to go ahead and just do whatever it is you feel you need to do, even if it offends people. Like this chick with the hijab. You don't have to wear that. There's nothing mandated in the Islamic religion that says you must wear that. Nothing. Some countries, they wear it because it's part of the culture. And I think that is this young lady's problem. She's from Morocco, where perhaps they wear it all the time. Well, in the States, we don't wear that. I mean, not every Muslim in America wears that. A lot of people do. Most of the women that you see who are wearing that in the States, they're immigrants or they are visiting from another country. American Muslims don't. So when you come here and you say you want to wear your hijab, so what are we talking about? Are you saying you need it for your religion? Bull crap. No, you don't. Why would you lie? Or maybe you feel like wearing that. Okay, that's cool. But guess what? It's not a mandated aspect of your religious wear. You just feel like wearing it. Well, just because you feel like something, man, it doesn't necessarily mean that that spills over into the rest of the world and everybody's got to move. That's not how it's played. That's not the way you interpret the Constitution. Give you an example. The Constitution says we have religious freedom, but you don't have the religious freedom to deny your child a blood transfusion. You don't have the religious freedom, like that one woman thought she had, to deny your child cancer treatment. You don't have the religious freedom to stop down and wash your feet or pray 86 times a day or whatever it is you got to do and interrupt the business of a business, necessarily. Interrupt the flow of someone's business. You don't have the religious freedom to do that. I don't have the religious freedom to take off during Lent and go do the Stations of the Cross every bloody Friday. Maybe my boss will let me. Maybe he won't. Maybe we're too busy. Maybe we're not. But I got religious freedom to go to the Stations of the Cross on my own time. I got religious freedom to do all those things. So you don't have the religious freedom to say, Disney, you're going to have to change the way you do business because I've decided I want to wear something that is not necessarily mandated by my religion, but because I'm an immigrant from Morocco and I really want to kind of, you know, I'm going to make a big splash now that I'm here in the States, I think I'm going to want to do this. Get with it, man. Get educated. So anyway, she filed a suit. Now let's talk about the mosque, because now we're talking about something that is sort of feeds off of this. We're talking about, you know, the way we are in this country, who we are and how we feel. It's really weird. It's really weird to see some people that don't get it. And it's very, very strange and gratifying to see other people that do. For instance, President Obama, God bless him, thinks this is a constitutional argument. No, it's not. Nobody is denying that it is the constitutional right of those people to have a mosque if they want to have it at Ground Zero. No one's denying that at all. The people of New York were just polled. Over 70% are against this mosque, but none of them, or hardly any of them, think it's got anything to do with the Constitution. They recognize the constitutionality of it. What they're saying is a bad idea. The president alluded to it when he said it's not the smartest choice, but I support their constitutional right to do it. And it already shows how far behind the ball he is on this. We've already been through that discussion, man. We get it. And another thing, I'd like to say it's legal. Oh, well, great. Thank you, Mr. Attorney General. I thought you were the president. You know, Rance was saying before the show, he says he's not the Attorney General. He's our president. He's not the Attorney General. He's our president. He's the guy that speaks with his voice the sentiment of the American people. And it is this. It hurts, man. And we'd rather not see that right now. And I brought up the example of the flaming cross. It was a perfectly legitimate Christian symbol at one time, but we realize now we're not going to be running that bloody thing in front of the faces of black people because it's a hateful thing now. I'm not saying a mosque is a hateful thing. I am saying that for the time being, out of sensitivity to the American people, we think about somewhere else to stick that thing. Now, guess who is in our corner on this one? I say our people that would agree with me. Harry Reid, the senator from Nevada. He didn't want the mosque there. And guess who else? Howard Dean. He didn't want the mosque there. This is not about right or left, Republican or Democrat. This is bad idea. It's a bad idea. And if you don't get it, if you don't get that, if you don't understand why people are opposed to that mosque, there's trouble in River City, man. And it starts with P and it ends with L, and that stands for pool. You got to understand that, especially if you're a president. You got to be able to articulate. They should say, we realize your constitutional right to this. You have to understand how the American people feel about this. If President Obama wanted to do something really good, he would articulate to the people who want to build that mosque, look, let me explain something to you guys, okay? Nobody's saying you don't, you know, have the mosque. This is really sticking in the craw of the American people. It pisses them off, and here are the reasons. It's not because they're against Islam. It's because they're against what this symbolizes to them. And then meanwhile, you got Pelosi who wants to look into the funding of the opposition. It's like over 70% of the American people don't dig it. I don't know what that means, that you got to look into the funding. I mean, some people get Social Security. I don't know what she means. All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah.
Phil Henry.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back here, 877-876-PHIL. And Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard along the way here. Obama has no regrets over Ground Zero Mosque remarks. Okay, you know, and that's all right. And then we have Nancy Pelosi, and of all the people that have spoken about this, she wants an investigation into Ground Zero Mosque opposition funding. This is madness. Not because that's necessarily a bad thing. Not because she's not showing responsibility, but it's the wrong thing to investigate. What? 70% of the American people, all the polls show a preponderance of opinion on one side. What the hell? It's a real political move, and it's, God, we don't need that stuff. Anyway, so we'll talk about that. And Howard Dean, who has weighed in on, you know what, not a good idea. I mean, I'll tell you, I don't, on any given day, this is what I mean, don't ever make your mind up about people. Don't ever make your mind up about people, because you never know who your ally is going to be. And Howard Dean is full of crap on a lot of things. But you know what? There's a lot of Republicans and right-wingers that are full of crap on a lot of stuff, too. But on any given day, those people just might be, hey, this guy agrees with me. You know?
Well, what about, like, Ted Bundy or something? That would never happen.
Ted Bundy?
You're talking about, like, people have an opinion.
Yeah, but you said on any given day that...
What do you mean Ted Bundy? A guy that's a killer? I'm talking about people that are... I'm talking about politics.
Yeah, well, that just means that you don't know necessarily.
About what? Yeah, okay. You mean Ted Bundy? I'm gonna... That's got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Yeah, but don't you think he could agree with you?
Who?
Ted Bundy.
He's dead now, bud.
No, but if he's alive, he could agree.
I suppose Ted Bundy could agree with me, yeah.
Then you guys would agree on something.
Okay, but if it's your intention to get me to say that Ted Bundy and I would find like cause, a common cause on something, then yes. Fortunately, he's dead. Man, here's Doug in Anaheim. Doug, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I was talking to your producer about the situation going on at Disneyland right now and how it's getting a little blown out of proportion. I worked there for a number of years. I'm familiar with their processes over there, and just like you said, there's an image there, and this is something that this person knew coming in and hiring into the job. I'm sure you understand that Walt Disney wanted things a certain way, a clean cut look, and that's the way it's always been. That these rules weren't, you know, written 2 months ago.
Right.
So and the thing about this is that this cast member belongs to a particular union that Disneyland is having trouble with right now. Their contract has been in negotiation for about 2.5 years, and I think this is all being blown out of proportion for the media so that they get attention on the union. I guess they have
what union is this, Doug? What are you talking about? Which union are you talking about?
It's Local 11. It's a union that represents the hotels, housekeeping, valet, and some food and beverage.
I see.
So, They've been having some trouble, and they actually demonstrated a little bit today, I understand. I saw in the news. And it was surrounding this particular situation.
Were they demonstrating right in front of the park there, man, or right when you drive in?
I believe out in front of the... They were out in front of the restaurant
the
for a while, but they were also out on the main street in front of the hotel, which is a public street.
Yeah.
So they're allowed to be out there, and Disney allows it. They've had a few dozen... demonstrations during this last 2.5 year period. Disney allows them to do it because, you know, they want to accommodate just like they are this employee. But the thing I was talking to your producer about is that I think this is getting blown out of proportion. This is the fact that I think leads me to that is she was going to be allowed to work just like you said. She had the option to work and wear this thing,
right.
But she chose to go home without pay. And I have a feeling that was probably motivated and she was probably coached into doing that by the union, because any sign of trouble with these employees, they go straight to their shop stewards and try and figure that out, which they should. You know, if they feel they're being discriminated, they should be doing this. But these employees know good and well when they're hired in, they go through extensive training about our heritage. And the way Disney works.
Yeah, I get it, man. And everybody that goes to Disney, I mean, we've all who've ever been to Disneyland, we see character entrance. Like, oh, wow, you guys are like actors in a theatrical production. So,
right.
And Disney, as I mentioned, is very, you know, we talked about the fact that they have gay night. We've talked about so many things that they've tried to do. And this scarf that she was, that they were going to fashion for her, she didn't want to wear. She had one right away. This is a combination of someone who is completely unfamiliar with American culture, completely. I don't give a damn she's been here 5 years. And then, yeah, what you're saying, being manipulated by a larger entity.
Yeah, and you know, the strange thing about it is, you know, Disney, for as well as they want to stick to their heritage and their clean-cut look, they do a very good job of it, but at the same time, they also do want to accommodate as much as they can. It's you know, Disney's image. They're very humanitarian.
Yeah.
They do
right.
They've got some not so great things that people can point out, but at the same time, they have one of the best human resources departments out of any company in this country. So they try their best to to accommodate. And but one thing that I just thought of right now is that we apparently, you know, I worked there for a long time, and they don't have any problem with people showing up on Ash Wednesday with a big smudge of ash on their forehead either. And I actually just now thought of that, and that's kind of strange too. I believe that
they also have, Disney also has a kind of yarmulke that is Disney acceptable that you can wear.
I've never seen it.
Right. So what they're doing here with this young lady is they're the same way they're fashioning this this hijab for her to wear that would be acceptable. The thing that is unfortunate is that it's not necessary to wear the hijab. It is not religiously mandated. On a daily basis. So she's just, on Ash Wednesday, it's not even really, Ash Wednesday is not religiously mandated for Catholics. But if I want to go and I want to get ashes smudged on my forehead, I guess I can show up for work at Disney and that's cool. And if I want to wear this hemp scarf, cool. But it really is up to Disney as to whether or not I, you know, am presentable enough to be dealing with the public. All right, man, thanks for your call. I appreciate that, Doug. That's some good insight there. That's Doug. He used to work at Disneyland. And he's got the whole thing, and he laid it down there for us.
Yeah, well, talk about Walt Disney. Well, he'd have never been involved in mass murder or anything like that, you know.
Yeah, except well, they don't know if he has, you know.
No, he'd never been involved in that.
What are you guys talking about mass murder for?
Well, because that guy said Disney got an image to live up to, that we were just thinking, had he ever been involved in that? And no, he has not.
Where would you go and get that kind of crap? Mass murder.
Because somebody said he dropped LSD.
Yeah, because like Jeffrey McDonald.
Oh, come on. If Walt Disney took acid, and I don't know whether he did or not, but if he did, he did. I mean, you know, you look at some of them cartoons, you know.
Yeah, well, I got the guy that'd have to be on acid.
I don't think you'd have to be on acid, but the fact is, it didn't mean, what are you talking about, bud? You know, you're coming up with the screwiest stuff.
You don't think the guy would be involved in mass murder?
So if Walt Disney was involved in mass murder, you'd say that puts a lie to everything he's done? Look, don't talk to me about this because I'm familiar with this. Ever since I was a little kid, man, there's a home movie of me in a stroller at Disneyland. That's how long I've been going there.
You mean like since you're a baby?
There's a home movie of me in a stroller in front of that castle, that whatever they call that.
Snow White.
The Snow White Castle? Or
Cinderella.
The Cinderella Castle, there's a home movie. So I've been going there a long time, all right? And Disney, man, he was on TV with that wonderful world of Walt Disney color, whatever the hell that was. And that guy's whole bag, man, is, you know, fresh and...
yeah, just like freshly done.
Yeah, everything's freshly done, whatever that means. So... While he was doing all of that stuff, fashions changed. You know, long hair came in, mustaches. I remember when Disney had a big hassle with guys wearing mustaches. No facial hair. Then they decided, well, some people could wear facial hair. Maybe it was okay in the frontier land if you were a cowboy or some jazz like that. So they had to go through all that bull crap. Did you guys ever hear about the time the hippies took over frontier land?
What are you talking about? That happened?
What?
Some hippies took over frontier land way back in the day.
Like, what'd they do?
They literally, this happened at Disneyland, and you can look it up, Jace, if it's online. Some freaks took over Disneyland. It might have been like 1970 or 69. No, they didn't take over Disneyland. They went into Frontierland and raised a Viet Cong flag.
Are you kidding me? That's the stupidest thing in the world.
Are you kidding? What'd they do?
I guess they had to bring the cops in or something. But these freaks came in. And raised the Viet Cong, the height of the Vietnam War protesting. And they raised a Viet Cong flag, you know. And then I remember there was a gang knifing there. I mean, Disney's had to put up with some stuff, but it's never been as out of control as it has been at other parks. And forgive me for saying this, but, you know, I don't want to crap all over Six Flags, but I think they actually had more problems at Six Flags and Knott's Berry Farm than they ever had at Disneyland. So they've run the gamut, and they had, I think, just all kinds of stuff, man, just weird stuff. They used to have those buckets, those sky buckets. Did you guys ever go on those?
Uh-uh.
They were great, man. They were like these buckets that went from one point of the park to the other. They took them out because people were spitting on other people. So, you know, times change, man. Times change.
I'm going to look up the part about the freaks.
Look it up. I don't know where it is, but here, Jace might have Yippies, here it is. Yippies protesting the Vietnam War invade the park August 6th. Some parade down Main Street, USA, and speak of liberating Minnie Mouse. What year was this, dude? 1970. I knew it was 1970. It was right after I got out of high school. Others take over Fort Wilderness on Tom Sawyer's Island, yank down the 15-star American flag, and raise a Viet Cong flag in its place. The protest escalates when the park is ordered closed at 7 p.m. and 30,000 guests are escorted out. Trash cans are set on fire and rocks and debris are thrown at police, blocking the main gate. Police make 23 arrests. 1970. Okay? You imagine if that happened now, people would think the world was coming to an end.
Yeah, I bet they thought the world would come to an end back then.
I don't even remember it. I remember it, but it was August of 70, so it was the summer between my senior year and my first year at PCC, and I was probably off, you know, having my own set of fun. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Why exactly did the mother slap her baby on that Southwest Airlines flight? We heard all about the opinions of Margaret Gray. What's the real story? We'll be back with that in a moment.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We got a brand new podcast up at iTunes and on our website. It's called Lloyd Teabagged by the Neighbor's Cat, Lloyd Bonafide, a wild story from May of 2006. Check out our classic Phil podcasts. Plane Go Boom is up there. All You Can Eat Negro is up there. And Blink If You're Thirsty, one of the greats. I forgot what else is up there, Bud.
I think that's it.
I thought we had five, man. That's only four. Anyway, so Lloyd and the Neighbor's Cat, Lloyd Teabag, but from May, May of 2006. So this is like, this is at least 3 years before Teabag became the standard cable news joke. All right, that's philhendryshow.com, so check that out. Mom says she slapped her 13-month-old. Remember this lady that slapped her baby? We had Margaret on last night, and she said, oh, you know, slapping kids, sometimes you got to slap them. You got to windmill your hand across their face. You know,
yeah, or you'll forehand or backhand and slap them.
Right. You have to do that to help equalize their emotional state so that they won't cry and upset all of the passengers before they come back and set upon you and your kid and throw you out at the nearest airstrip. So, Albuquerque, New Mexico, the mother who had her 13-month-old daughter taken away by a flight attendant on a Southwest Airlines flight told police she slapped the child because it kicked her. And she was trying to teach the child that kicking is wrong. When Albuquerque police officer Dana Baldwin asked the mom about the slapping after the flight, she told her, I haven't done anything wrong with my child. I popped her. That's such bar talk, you know.
Yeah, you like a pop a guy in a bar, man, not your kid.
I popped her when she kicked me, and that was it, according to Baldwin's written statement in a police report. The mother, Lee Ann Cid, C-I-D.
Well, probably, C-I-D, that's Arab.
Why do you say that?
Because of that movie. You ever see that movie, El Cid?
El Cid. No, I didn't.
Yeah, E-L-C-I-D. And he was, I think he was Arab or he was Spanish.
I know, but what do you mean El Cid, man? What is that?
Yeah, I never heard of that, man. What is El Cid?
Yeah, El Cid is a movie. You never seen it?
No, I never saw El Cid. What is that, man?
I don't know. I have to look it up. It was such a movie.
And he was an Arab.
I think he was either Arab or he was from Mexico.
He was either Arab or he was from Mexico. Why don't you pin this stuff down, man, before you bring it up on the show? Now it's going to drive me crazy. Anyway, the mother, Lee Ann Cid, told Baldwin, the assisting officer at the scene, that she only hit her child lightly on the leg to get her to stop kicking and crying. She's done this before when she gets tired, and she'll slap me, she'll slap in toward my face and stuff, Cid said, according to Baldwin's report. I think it's because she saw my nephew do it. She slapped my sister in the face, and I guess she thinks it's okay, and I'm trying to teach her that it's not. What the hell? Rance just looked up El Cid, a Spanish hero. Charlton Heston played him in the 1961 movie El Cid, starring Sophia Loren.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, that ain't an Arab, but how'd you never think of that?
I think I've seen it. Maybe I saw it on late night TV, or possibly I rented it from Netflix.
Oh, man.
Man, how do you figure... Why would you rent something like that?
Because I happen to like Sophia Loren, and I won't say why.
I know why.
Yeah, me too.
All right, anyway, nevertheless, flight attendant Beverly McCurley took custody of the baby. So the woman's saying that she's teaching this baby not to slap because the baby was slapping her. So it was a slap fight between her and this kid. Two passengers on the Southwest flight weigh in on the flight attendant's actions in an interview with KOB Television in Albuquerque.
I wouldn't want any harm to my child at the same time. I wouldn't want someone to necessarily say that my discipline style is incorrect. I do think that sometimes in tight quarters, you've got to be a little more stern, you know, with your child.
Albuquerque International Sunport Police Chief Marshall Katz told CNN today and talked to CNN today and explains why the mother was allowed to continue on her flight without being arrested.
I mean, there were no marks on the baby physically based on the contact the mother had with the child. With the concurrence of the parents and paramedics on scene, we verified the child had no bruises anywhere else on her torso. There was a long conversation with the parents, with the flight attendant and crew, and some passengers. We felt, based on the totality of circumstances, we permitted them to continue to their destination.
Here, Katz explains what led to the slapping.
The female child is 13 months old. The child was crying, a rather high tone. It appears the mom was frustrated. According to the mom, she slapped the baby on her legs, but at least one witness said it appeared to be on her face.
Mm-hmm.
There were no marks, per se, on the face or the legs. But some at least heard at least one slap take place. In today's society, things have changed. People want action to stop, no matter what it is.
So
it was inappropriate. The flight attendant intervened and stopped the action.
All right. So what happened was the baby got slapped, and then the baby, they threw the kid out. So, El Cid, huh?
Yeah, it's great.
All right, well, all's well that, I guess all's well that ends well, although that mother's explanation was that she slapped the kid because the kid slapped her. Now, I can understand, certainly, if a kid slaps you, your instinct is to go ahead and slap the kid back. What the hell, man? How grown up is that?
How are the kid going to... I remember that one guy on your show one time, he said it's natural when a baby cries to want to throw the kid.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and he threw the kid off a bridge.
He didn't. He was explaining why he thought some woman had... And fortunately, and this is one of the most bizarre stories you'll ever hear, and it happened a number of years ago. A woman, obviously mentally deranged, threw her baby off of a bridge, and guess what? The child survived without a real serious injury at all. It was incredible. I don't know if she'd thrown the child when it was sitting in a car seat or the child was wrapped in a lot of blankets. I don't know what. But she threw this kid because she was going to kill herself, too. And the child was discovered uninjured in this river bottom. It was just incredible. So on the show comes, I forget who the guy, you remember who it was, Bud?
Look it up. I think it was like Rudy or Bobby or Bill. I don't know, Tim.
Oh, well, just run through all the names, Bud. You'll get to it.
Yeah, it's Cid. El Cid.
That's it, El Cid. So anyway, El Cid came on the show, the Spanish hero, and said... That he said that it's very natural when you hear a baby cry to want to just get rid of it. So she's walking across the bridge with her baby, and she hears the baby go, man, she says, oh, geez. And she instinctively tossed the kid off the bridge. That was El Cid, huh? All right, we'll see you tomorrow night. Don't forget, on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our technical director is Don Naylor, and, of course, our screener is Dan Northcraft, and our producer is Jason Rance. This is Phil Henry. Till tomorrow, later and greater.
Yay.
Phil Henry.